Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read with me the title of today's sermon? God Knows Your Name. Now, I know you can't see it from where you're sitting, but if you were to get up here really close, you would see the names, the first name. Your first name is up there. The names of the people in this congregation. I see a Satori. I see a Charlie Rose. I see a Leslie. I see a Wolfgang. I see a Stephen. I see a Rob Roy. I see a Megan. I see Melissa. There's Shirley. There's Lucy. There's Ming. All your names are listed there. The title of our message is this morning, God Knows Your Name, based on the gospel reading from John, which reads this way. Jesus said, I am the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear my voice, and I call my sheep by name. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline provided for you this morning. Look in your handout, follow the sermon outline as we consider the theme, God Knows Your Name. Well, I'm sure, and it's dangerous now that I told you your name is on that screen, because I see all the eyes trying to find their name on the screen. So don't pay any attention to that screen anymore. Come over this way. I saw you, Bev Sampert, looking for your name up there. Reminds you of the scene from The Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that man behind the screen, okay? I'm sure that many of you have just gone through. June, I still see you looking for your name. I'm sure many of you have gone through what I've just gone through recently in the month of April. A task that comes around to every one of us, year in and year out at April time. A task that requires pages and pages of numbers. A task that you could call the number game of all number games. Filling out the forms and filing the forms for Revenue Canada income tax. Aha! Woohoo! Because I'm an American citizen, I get to fill out taxes forms for both countries. Numbers. At the grocery store. They know you by your debit card or your credit card number. At the bank, you're known by your account number. The hospital acknowledges your existence only by your BC health card number. The province of BC recognizes you exist, Kristen, because of your driver's license number. And the federal government, in its wisdom, realizes that Red Zotsman is a live human being because of his SIN number, social insurance number. Everybody knows your number. Does anybody know you? Here's a word of comfort this morning. Jesus says in Holy Scripture, I am the good shepherd. And I call my sheep by name. He knows your name. You're not just a number. There is someone who knows you. There is someone to whom you are unique. You are important. You are precious. It's easy to feel alone in an impersonal world. It's easy to feel more like a number than a name. I'll never forget the first time I took my dear mama, Beverly, and I took the SkyTrain to Waterfront. The cars were just packed with people like sardines. The sidewalks were just filled with people elbow to elbow. We felt just like a nameless number among the morass of thousands of people. It's easy today, isn't it? For each of us to feel like a nameless number. And wonder, does anybody really know me and care? It's not true. You are intimately known. Franz, intimately known and loved by Jesus, your Savior. He knows you by name. You're a sheep of his flock. Mary, he's your good shepherd. And here's a word of challenge for each of us. Did you hear it in the gospel lesson? The word of challenge is to reach out to those sheep who are not yet a part of the shepherd's flock. Jesus says in John 10:16, I have other sheep that are not yet a part of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. But please don't forget, there are others. The calling that each of us has, not just the pastor, is to reach out to the sheep not yet in the flock. Our calling is to reach out to the sheep in this congregation who are absent, who are hurting and wounded sheep. Our calling is to reach out to our friends, our neighbors, our family, whom you know need the love of Jesus. My friends, it's time to quit thinking about this people. It's time to reach out to them. Jesus said that there are sheep who are so dear to him, and they need our attention as well. Let me let you in on a little secret. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. We, as Trinity Lutheran Church, do not exist just to throw a party for ourselves every Sunday. We don't exist Sunday after Sunday just to throw a party and say, aren't you glad we're all here? This is not a club for exclusive members only. We exist also for the sheep, not yet in the shepherd's arms. We exist for the people outside these four walls who don't know they have a Savior who knows their name. This truth was brought home in a very real way this past week in the apartment building right next door. In the apartment building just to the west of where you're sitting here this morning, are you aware a man murdered his wife? Are you aware that our church parking lot had in it police cars and news vehicles covering this event? Are you aware that our dear Pastor Chung, who was on site, was called upon to give pastoral care to those in grief and sorrow after this tragedy, which involved two small children, who, by the way, attended our afternoon Chinese Bible class? Are you aware that I was called back, as well as Pastor Rogo, from a pastor's conference out of town to be back here? This family and others outside the four walls of this church building are precious sheep of our good shepherd, and we await more word how our congregation can be of service to our community in this situation. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Here's a word of comfort for all of us. Jesus' death is our life. Now, many people promise, oh, they promise, to be on your side when hard times come. People promise to be there when you really need them. People promise, they vow, you can count on me when you have nowhere else to turn. Yet we often learn that too many people in our lives are more like the hired hand that Jesus mentions in John chapter 10. When Jesus says, when the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Not so with Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And what makes the good shepherd good? He tells us, here's the good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. When he sees the wolves coming, he declares to the wolves, the only way you're going to get my sheep is over my dead body. You want my sheep, he says to the wolves. You've got to come through me. And on that cross of Calvary, that's indeed what happened. Our good shepherd laid down his life for us. The wolves of sin, death, and devil tore him apart for you and for me. But as Easter Sunday and every Sunday declares, he is risen. And he has risen to give us victory over sin, death, and devil. Jesus on the cross, an empty tomb, pulled the teeth out of those wolves. And he's done it for you and for me. And here's another word of challenge. We today, as God's people, are not to live our lives as hired hands. We're to be under shepherds of Jesus, the good shepherd. A hired hand sees his connection with the flock of sheep as only a way he can get something for himself, like a paycheck or a bowl of lamb stew. He has no commitment to the flock. A hired hand simply wants to get what he wants to get. Our challenge today as Christians and church members is not to ask, what's in it for me? What can I get out of the church or the Christian faith? How can I get my needs met without committing my time, my talents and treasures for God's kingdom? Instead, each of us is to ask. Did you catch it? Each of us, not just the pastor. Dear Lord, what can I do to be a better under-shepherd of Jesus, my good shepherd? What can I do to care for the sheep who are not yet a part of this flock? Let me lay a challenge out for you. Imagine, just imagine, how this congregation could be strengthened, revitalized, renewed, and completely turned around when each of us changes the way we look at church membership. Not attendance just to get something for myself, but a commitment to receive from our Lord his good gifts so that then I am freed to give these same gifts away to others in the name of Jesus. This very point was brought home to me very clearly this past week. Our congregation hosted a North American mission conference. It was called CLIMB, C-L-I-M-B, Chinese Lutherans in Mission Building. Our dear Pastor Chung and Pastor Mark Chang from Vancouver were the hosts, and I was here to welcome as well. As people came from New York, Boston, St. Louis, San Francisco, a number of places around Canada as well to look at missions. In the evening worship service, the Reverend Dr. Glenn Schaefer, our district mission exec, shared this story. This point is very clear for our sermon today. Here was his story. What would you do if you had three of your children with you on an outing to the ocean? Let's say Gary Point. A beautiful day for a picnic and for playing. And you had two children with you on the beach, eating the picnic you prepared, playing very nicely. But one of your children got away and was drowning in the waves some distance away. What would you do? Well, of course, you would leave for a moment the children safely playing on the beach and dash into the water to save the child who's drowning in the ocean. Wouldn't you? Well, of course you would. Now, how much time, how much energy, how many resources do we expend in our churches today to care for our own members who are already safe on the beach? while sometimes all but forgetting those who are drowning in the waves of sin and unbelief and dying apart from saving faith in Christ and going to hell every day. The church exists, of course it does, to care for the flock of God who is gathered. But let's not forget we also exist for the sake of the world. We don't just exist to throw a party for ourselves every week, to play and have a picnic on the beach, and to close our ears to the sounds of the drowning. So today, I'm going to ask you to do two simple but very important things. Look at your sermon outline. First, I'm going to ask you, not just in the service of worship today, but as you go home this week, in prayer, ask God to lay on your heart the name of one person, just one, that you can reach out to. Maybe it's one person you can love and serve in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's one person you can listen to because they need someone who will take time to listen to them. Maybe it's one person you can invite to this place to hear God's word and of His love for them. You see, God can use you and me for great things in His kingdom if we put ourselves in His service. And secondly, after you pray for an opportunity to reach out to that person, do it. As Jesus' under-shepherd, here is a simple but wonderful way to lay down our lives for the sake of the sheep. To let people in our lives know that they are not just a nameless number in some eternal accounting process, but an individual precious to our Lord. A couple of weeks ago, I had the rare privilege, I look forward to it every year, my annual physical exam. Woohoo! I just love it. But after having my exam, the doctor sent me to the Life Lab building. You know, the blue building right across from Richmond Hospital, across Gilbert. I had to go there to get a number of lab tests done as part of my physical exam. I was there with the paperwork my doctor provided, and I thought I had everything I needed for the exam, but I was wrong. I'd forgotten to bring the one key thing. I forgot my BC healthcare card with the 10-digit number on it. You see, so often we learn who you are is not really important. What your need is not really important. Your name is really no big deal. Just your 10-digit number that someone will enter into an office computer to verify you exist. I told the woman at the front desk, "I'm so sorry, I was in a hurry. I walked from my office and I left my health care card. I'll have to come back in a couple of days." But then she did an amazing thing. I was totally shocked in this impersonal world. She smiled and she asked me my name. And she looked me up in her file and she said, "We know you, Stephen. You are Stephen Harold, spelled H-A-R-O-L-D. You're important to us. We'll take care of you today." I couldn't believe it. What a simple but happy event. It put a spring in my step and a smile on my face all day long. It reminded me that in God's eyes, in the eyes of God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, you and I are not just a number. God knows your name, Kevin. God knows your name, Stella. Way in the back, I see you there. God knows your name, Ian. My friends, in today's busy and impersonal world filled with numbers, you may sometimes only feel like a number among others. It hurts to feel uncared for. It hurts to feel like a number and not a name. But please hear me carefully today. Ian, you have a good shepherd. His name is Jesus. He laid down his life for you, Don. He rose in death in victory for all of us. The Lord is your shepherd, my dear friends, your good shepherd. You are his sheep. You are not a number. He knows your name. In the name of Jesus, amen.